those occasions, we need to say, well, perhaps that's the Lord saying something to me, and act accordingly, act straight away. Because if we leave it, and say, well, I'll do that this afternoon, it's gone, isn't it? We need there, and then we need, maybe it would be a prayer of repentance, or a rededication, or whatever. But we need to respond immediately that God sort of touches something. And sometimes he touches a very sore part in our life, doesn't he? And that hurt. And we can ask him to help us even in that difficult situation as well. So we're going to look at the whole of the year's sermon, bring it all together, and say, this is what we've been trying to say. And I suppose basically is it that we crown him Lord of all. As an introduction, let's just listen.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. So bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Da 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 da. Matchless King through all eternity. To thee be endless praise, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity.
And that's really what we long to do, isn't it? Crown him Lord of all. So to try and encapsulate what we've been looking at over the past year, and this is it, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's been, I think, an emphasis. I may not have said it right, those word for word, but that's been the underlying message, that we acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. Whilst on a trip to Switzerland, an American businessman was watching a Swiss clockmaker carving this beautiful, ornate cuckoo clock. And the businessman watched him and watched him as he carefully, deliberately carved the case for this amazing clock. He was really quite shocked and astounded at the progress because it seemed to be so slow and painstaking. And eventually the businessman said, "You're never going to make much money like that." And the cuckoo clockmaker replied, "I'm not making money, I'm making a clock." And God has been at work in our lives. Perhaps it's been painstakingly slow. Perhaps he's been chipping away at this and chipping away at that. And why has he been working? Because the Lord has been working in our lives throughout this past year to make us into his saints. And I think the most important truth in our preaching over the past year has been that Jesus Christ is Lord. And our Savior's redemptive work is really very, very important, that he might be Lord. That's the whole purpose of our salvation. That's the whole purpose of redemption, is that he might be Lord, and that he might be the number one focus in our individual lives and in our church life. That must always be number one. Philippians 2 and verses 5 to 11 sums that all up, doesn't it? And here's an amazingly challenging verse, verse 5, Philippians chapter 2. In all of your relationships with each other, have this mindset, the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that eradicate all the problems, all the issues, all the tensions, all the hurt? Because what we need to do is take a deep breath instead of responding, say, now what would Jesus do in this situation? What would he say? How would he react? Now that's difficult, I know, because the pressure's on and you're really hurt. But we do need to try and to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we agree with it or not, Jesus is Lord. Whatever you do, say, and why, you know, it makes no difference. In fact, Jesus Christ is Lord. And the work of redemption, God has established his Son as both Lord and Messiah. The Father has given the Son absolute supremacy, rule, reign, authority. Our Lord Jesus has no equals and no rivals. He has no superior. And he is the one who is before, beside, and beyond all things. He is Lord. And Romans 14:9 makes it crystal clear. For this reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be Lord both of the living and the dead. It's far too easy, isn't it, to underestimate the importance of the sovereignty of God in our individual lives. We all delight in the fact that he is our Savior. Matthew 1:21, that she will give birth to a son and call his name Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. Or Hebrews 7:5, therefore, God is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always intercedes for us. But remember, the one who we call our Savior and saved us from our sin and provided a home in heaven for us is Lord of all. Romans 10 and verse 9 declares, it says this, that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And by accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you imply a submission to his sovereign lordship. The one who we receive as Savior, John 1 and verse 12, is the Lord. The one who comes into our hearts by his Holy Spirit is the one that sits on the throne, Revelation 3:21. To him, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat down on my Father's throne. The it's great to rejoice. It's wonderful to and exciting to rejoice that he is Savior of the world. We could have sung that this morning, and we've sung it other times. But we need to recognize that not only is he the Savior of the world, but he's the Lord Jesus Christ, which means that we have to submit to his lordship. And I wonder if we have entered into that completely. Have we entered into that fully? Or are you just a nominal Christian? Today, can you say, Jesus is my Savior? Or can you say, he's the Lord Jesus Christ? So, what I'm trying to say is that we first have to crown him Lord of all. Crown of what? How does that? What do I mean by all? The whole of our life. Now, if you'll forgive me, I want to be very practical and specific this morning, as we've been trying to sort of sum up all that we've been doing over the past year. So, forgive me if I hurt a bit. Okay, we need to get this right, I think, as we enter in this new year for his glory. So first, we need to understand that we are spirit, soul, and body. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23 says, Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and your soul and your body be preserved completely without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if Jesus is Lord of my life, it means that he holds absolute sway and exercises complete sovereignty over my spirit, soul, and body, which will really transform the way that we live and react to each other, because he is in control of my spirit, my soul, and my body. And secondly, we have a heart and a mind and a will. Put it another way, we have emotions, intellect, and desire. If Jesus is Lord, it means that he is Lord of my heart. He must be number one. I know your spouse must be important to you, your family are very important to you, your job's very important to you. Jesus must be first. Now that goes against everything I've got to put my family first. And there are so many things that we want to put first, but unless Jesus is number one, first priority, and first in my thinking, we're in deep trouble. So he must be Lord of my heart, my mind. And we fill our minds with so much junk. We read so much and see so much that really pollutes our mind. If Jesus is Lord, we'll be very careful what goes in to our minds and our hearts. And then it means that if Jesus is Lord, he is Lord of my heart, my mind, and my will. She made me do that. He told me to. You know, children would say that, wouldn't they, at school? But we're all responsible for our own actions. Don't blame somebody else for what you should be doing. You have a will. Somebody's hurt you. Don't run away. Deal with it. Ask God to forgive you for the hurt you that you wish on them, or the indifference that you feel. But deal with it. You need to exercise your will on that issue. And don't expect everybody else to change. You need to change, and you need to exercise determination so that he is Lord over your emotions, intellect, and desire. There are one or two things that we do need to address, aren't there, in our lives, if we're going to crown him Lord of all. And thirdly, we have a body. Every part of our body belongs to the Lord Jesus. We're many parts of that body, and the Apostle Paul speaks to us about that in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. Do not. Now, that's a fairly straightforward beginning to that verse, isn't it? A command is here, quite clear. Not, you know, think about it one day. If it fits, that's okay. No, do not. Okay? That's something you perhaps say to the children. Do not. And what do? The opposite. What do? The opposite. But here we have it. Do not offer your... Do not offer any parts of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who've been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as instruments of righteousness. Simply put, it means that your eyes, ears, lips, hands, and feet belong to the Lord Jesus. That affects everything. What you see, or spend too much time looking at, what you hear, we spend too much time in the presence of those who are always blaspheming and or watching television that are full of etc. We've got a will, our lips, what we say, our hands, what we do, our feet, where we go. Do all of those things honor the Lord Jesus? Hundreds of years ago, when I was little, we used to sing a chorus, or a, I don't know if it's a chorus or a hymn or something. And I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry about that. It says, "Be careful, little eyes, what you see." Do you remember? Hands up those who remember. Oh, yeah, too many. Right. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Hands, what you do. Feet, where you go. Mouth, what you say. Because there's a Father up above, and he's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. If Jesus is Lord of my life, it means he is Lord of my eyes, ears, lips, hands, feet. In fact, every part of my body belongs to him. Now, there's another interesting thing, I think, is that it means we have life. We all know that we're alive. If you don't believe me, you know, just prick yourself and that might hurt you. Yeah, I'm alive. I'm a living being. And here I am, alive. And this, the fact that we have life, our life includes our home, occupation, friends, possession, relationships, friendships, habits, church, and our service for him. So that's pretty conclusive, isn't it? So our lives are made up of those things. So if Jesus is Lord of my life, it means that he is sovereign in all areas of my life. And if he is on the throne, he must have no rivals at home, occupation, friends, relationships, habits, church, etc. Is he your Lord like that? I wonder. So what does it really mean? How is it to work out? And how is it going to work out in our Christian lives? How has it worked out? Let's start there, perhaps. Let's look back over the past year. How has all of that I've just said worked out in our individual lives, day by day, month by month, week by week, month by month, over the past year? Because there are some times that he hasn't been Lord of our home, our occupation, our friends, family, relationships, habits, church. You know, church, well, he's not Lord of my church because, you know, I'll take it and, you know, take it as it comes. If I feel like it, I'll be here. If somebody upsets me, I won't. Hardly making him Lord of all, then, is it? You see, it means total ownership. It means total ownership. If Jesus is Lord of my life, it means that he has his way in my life. I don't belong to myself. I belong to him. As Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19 and 20, it says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you received from God? You are not your own, he says, that you've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And when Christ is Lord of my life, it means there's not my life. It's not my life any longer, but his life. We don't belong to ourselves. It's him we belong to. So we can no longer say, it's my body, my talents, my money, my loved ones, my home, my time, my church. They're his. And we need to acknowledge his lordship in every area of our lives. Total ownership. If you bought a car, for example, from new or old, doesn't matter, and you say, well, I really like that, that's really brilliant. And you say, yeah, I'm going to have that. Here's the money. As soon as you hand over the money, that car belongs to you, not somebody else. It's not a matter of the dealer saying, I need it on Thursday evenings, okay? So every Thursday evening, and any other time I please, I'd like that car because I need to use it. You wouldn't be very happy about that. You wouldn't say, well, it's totally mine if somebody else had a call on it, would you? And isn't that the same in our Christian life? God demands everything from us, and Satan has a call on us, doesn't he? Something's far more important, and we give in to him. Say, no, I belong to him. And it means total ownership. It also means total obedience or submission. If he is Lord of my life, then whatever he says, I will do. Because he is Lord and he is master, he is fully entitled to do whatever he wants and wills with my life. And he expects me to obey him and submit to him and his word totally, 100%. It's no good saying, having God's word and taking bits out of it. That doesn't fit any longer. We can then go on the internet and we can find thousands of people who would explain God's word away. For example, don't neglect yourself assembling together as the manner of some is. We should be in church. Now, you can find loads and loads of messages and talks and papers about, that verse doesn't mean this, it means something else, and it's culturally no longer acceptable, and explain it away. But the truth of the matter is, God has said it, I believe it. And just because something isn't popular any longer, we can't explain it away. It's there. And we need total submission to his word. It's the only way it makes any sense at all. So often people knock us off course and we become half-hearted and, dare I say it, lukewarm. When he says, do this, he expects us to do it. Do that, and we should gladly do it, because it's not my life, it's his. Matthew 8 and verse 9 says, it's a challenging verse, for I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell one go, and he goes, one come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I suppose we could sum up that submission and total ownership and obedience with that old hymn, have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. I am the potter, you are the clay. Melt me and mold me after your will. And that's what we really need to do, don't we? Have your own way, Lord. Have your own way. Hold all my being absolute sway, filled with your spirit, till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. If we cannot speak of him as Lord of all, then we disobey him and his word. His lordship implies acceptance of his will, acceptance and obedience to his word. Acts 9:6. Now get up and go to the city, and you'll be told what you must do. How have we been in total ownership and obedience this past year? Total service. Enthusiastic service. If he is Lord of my life, whatever he directs me, I should do and go. Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 1, 5 and 8. Isaiah uses the word Lord 3 times. And Isaiah recognizes that the lordship of the pre-incarnate Christ was important. And recognizing the lordship of Jesus Christ for Isaiah was pretty disturbing, wasn't it? And sometimes it can be pretty disturbing for us as well. But when Christ's lordship is accepted wholeheartedly, it's easier to rejoice and say and do his will gladly, because his will is best. And it also means total trust. If he is Lord of my life, whatever he permits, I am to accept. Even if it causes pain or causes heartache and a heart to break, we have to trust him, because his will is best. I don't understand why somebody can pray, or we as a church can pray for somebody to be healed, and they're healed. And somebody else to be prayed that God would heal them, and they're not healed. I don't understand that. But what I do know is that God is sovereign, his will is best, and he knows what is best for us as individuals. I have to accept that, however painful and difficult that is. That takes total trust, doesn't it? He is Lord, and he'll give us the grace to say, Lord, I cannot understand this, but I'm trusting you, Lord Jesus. I know that all is well with you. All is well with me, because you're working your purpose out as year succeeds to year. If Jesus is really Lord of my life, when troubles and trials and difficulties come, they do. And I don't understand it when you have a personal crisis or a family crisis or a work crisis or whatever difficulty comes in, and you pray and God removes it, and amazing, God blesses. I don't understand how somebody else can pray. And instead of taking the problems away, they throw another one in, and another one. But I do know that he'll not allow us to have more than we can cope with by his grace and his power and his purpose. If Jesus is Lord of my life, when troubles and trials come, I can say with Job 1 and verse 21, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Tough, but only makes any sense at all when we acknowledge his lordship. It means total rewards as well. If Jesus is Lord of my life, one day, if we've acknowledged him and his total ownership and obedience and service and trust, one day we will hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't that be great? Don't children, don't we like and think it's important to say to a child, well done, good drawing, good reading. That boosts the child, doesn't it? And it's good, isn't it, when people say, well done to us. Not that we deserve anything, but how it builds up. And God is waiting, longing to be able to say to you and to me, well done. That's going to be a day, isn't it? What a great thing it is that Christians, we can actually give the Lord Jesus his rightful place in our lives, recognizing who he is. Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, it says, you know the message that God sent to Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. And because he has demonstrated his lordship, we must humbly bow and surrender to him. Crown him Lord of all. But that's only possible by the Holy Spirit. We cannot do it in our own strength. We've tried, haven't we? No one can declare that Jesus is Lord. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And that's the final word on the matter. That's it. Don't argue with it. Jesus said we need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to acknowledge, and it's totally impossible to live the Christian life in our own strength. It's totally impossible to do any of this without the Lord Jesus. And by the presence of his Holy Spirit, we ask him to enable us to crown him Lord of all. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I wonder, can we afresh today, individually, as a church as well, acknowledge Jesus is Lord of my life? The Lord Jesus is referred to 740 times in the New Testament as the Lord Jesus Christ. To sum it all up, the idea of lordship, the idea of the lordship of Jesus Christ, it doesn't consist of one act. Oh, I did that 15 years ago. It's not one act of a submission, but it's a daily process, isn't it? That our obedience is measured by our ongoing obedience to his word and to his will. We cannot accomplish it in our own strength or power, but the power that he supplies by his indwelling Holy Spirit. We are strong when we rely on him, the Lord of my conduct, Lord of my relationships, Lord of my time, my talents, my treasures, my church. Have you embraced the lordship of Jesus Christ? What I'd like us to do is just respond individually before the Lord. And perhaps we could just listen to something being played to us. He is Lord. As we quietly respond to, we won't sing it, we won't do anything, we just listen to the music played to us, please. He is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord.